Catchers family, our heart at Catch the Fire is to provide amazing content, amazing media for free. However, if it's in your heart to sow into the ministry, we would love you to partner with that. Please check out the information on this video for ways you can partner, both financially and in terms of volunteering your time. We would love you to be able to partner with the message that we're bringing so that everybody can access this content for free moving forward.
Jesus, thank you that tonight is all about you. Just right now, I know I can't go wrong in doing something Chloe would do. Why don't you just lift up your heads? Si karaba sondorobo sataraba kabaraba sotorobo. Ki darara sandaraba kataraba sotorobo shi. Ki araba baraba sondaraba kataraba baba baba. Yeah, just keep praying in tongues. I pray right now for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your heart will be open to see the glorious inheritance, the power of the gospel that's in you, and the hope of the calling. Right now, Father, would you release the spirit of wisdom and revelation that even before I speak, as Stu said, that your word would cut like a sword, like the sword that comes out of Jesus' mouth. That right now, the eyes of hearts would be open to see the inheritance that is in every single one of these children of God, the hope of their calling, and the immeasurable power. Just say immeasurable power. Immeasurable power. Immeasurable power. Shakaraba sotoraba sidididididi. Kuraba sanda. Right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that the eyes of their hearts would be open right now, that they would know that immeasurable power is in them. That every single one of them has a glorious inheritance. And the hope of their calling. That's just the Bible. That's what Ephesians 1 says. Hallelujah. So it is such an honor to be here, to stand here. As Stu said, what he didn't say was that I lived in Norwich for 6 years. I went there to do my PhD in slum development, and God took me to Uganda. I spent a year living in the slums studying slum development, but I just was going after God, and God marked me. I came back to this country. I said, Lord, thank you for that training ground. He said, no, now this is your training ground. I knew that I was marked for more, for the same miracles that are in Africa that happen anywhere in the world are the same that he wants to see here. Just we haven't believed it yet, because we haven't let the word dwell in us richly enough yet that we would actually believe that the same Holy Ghost that's raising people from the dead in Nigeria wants to raise people from the dead here. And the Lord said, he gave me no excuses. He said, no, this is your training ground. I didn't have people that would come with me. I just hit the streets because I believed that the light that was in me was the light that lit up the world, and that people would get saved as I went. And I made a fool of myself time after time after time again. I've got friends from Norwich that knew. I used to text my pastor every time I fell flat on my face because I just got good at celebrating dying. You know, if you want to be used by the Holy Ghost, you've got to die. I try and smile a lot as I'm preaching, because just health, I'm not here to make you feel happy. I'm here that the word of God would cut so deep that you would look more like Christ in half an hour's time. I don't actually want you to like me. I almost think I failed if you do. Because the word of God is sharp and cuts. It divides soul and spirit. So your soul might not like the next half an hour, but your spirit's going to love it. Ha 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 ha. Shakaraba. So I don't know if they're going to regret letting me up here. Can't take it back now. Hallelujah. Where I was going with that was just to give you a little, just a bit of my story, because it's, you know, try and connect a little. But the point being is I had such an incredible time in Norwich. I just want to honor, we've got the Burn Directors of Norwich here. They're amazing. They've driven all the way from Norwich, keeping the fire going up there, hitting the streets, seeing people saved. Hallelujah. And actually, I want to say one of my good covenant brother, Jules, as well, who's driven up from Reading. Me and this guy, when I first came back to the UK, a friend of mine sent me a clip of Leonard Ravenhill. If you want to put hairs on your chest spiritually, listen to Leonard Ravenhill.
And I heard the story of a man who went into the forest and fasted and prayed for 3 weeks and said, God, if you've called me to preach, anoint me. I watched this clip. It convicted me. Watch it. It's called Leonard Ravenhill, The Anointing. And I sent it around to Jules and someone else. And I was like, I was losing Christian friends at a rate of knots at this point. And I think Paul probably would have been pretty difficult to handle as well. So I sort of took solace in that. But I remember texting just a few friends and said, but we can't do this. And this man of God says, yeah, but we can at least try. And he drove up to Norwich. I borrowed a friend's tent and we went into the forest for 3 days and just fasted and prayed. We said goodbye to each other at the beginning every day. And I went, and that's when I first had an encounter and saw the cloud of witnesses. There's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing in the wilderness. Anyway, I just want to honor him for being here and just find family that will champion you. Anyway, Norwich, I get to London, and the point of the where I'm landing is, I remember, I don't want a church hop, Lord. I want to find somewhere that's going to be family. And I started praying, and I was like, and you know that you call me, I'm somewhat itinerant, so I want somewhere with amazing worship and meaty teaching every week. Is that too much to ask, Jesus? And I just felt more and more called to this amazing house. And that 2 years ago, I don't know if it was the first time, or I might even choke up, because I hadn't been honored for what I carry, and that's okay. But I remember the first time I came in here, and I just prophesied over now a very famous rapper, and these guys, and Chloe, you just stood me up, and come on, what would you say? Come on, son, or come on, what would you, come on, honey, that's it, come on, honey, and just pray for me, and I don't think I'd felt honor like that in a church since, so I want to say thank you, and it's easy to make my home here. Okay. Tonight I'm going to talk about a life of the oil of his presence. A life of oil that leads to a life of fire. I might move quite quickly because the Lord's given me a fair bit. But I'm going to tell you where I'm going so you can at least follow. You might want to take notes. But as Stu said, I'm equally happy for you to get whacked and not listen to me as long as God's touching you. I mean that. So I'm going to tell you what oil is. Next, I'm going to hit how to get it and steward it. Then I'm going to talk about stewarding the gospel. And lastly, how to lead a life of fire. So what is it? What is oil? Just turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to get oily. Hallelujah. So here's a little, this is what probably Tom would do beautifully in like half an hour, and I'm trying to do it in 5 minutes. As a little intro, bit of meat, just starter. Like some maybe, I don't know, those beautiful bits of raw meat that you get. Too much of a tangent? Anyway. So biblical unpacking of oil. Oil in the Bible, it was used for lighting lamps. Leviticus 24, Exodus 27. Anointing oil, Exodus 30. It was used for grain offerings, Leviticus 2. Kings were anointed with it. It was used to sanctify priests, Exodus 29, and to sanctify the tabernacle. It was also used, surprisingly, for cooking. Olive trees did grow in Israel, and people used it as other cultures would use butter or animal fat. Why am I telling all this? Because I think sometimes we go like, yeah, let just oil. And like it's such a good to see what the Bible says, like, about these weird words that we say, right? So, but here's the cool thing. In Jewish culture, it was also a symbol of richness, joy, health, and a symbol of the Holy Spirit, which I'll come on to. What does a life of oil look like? In Exodus 30, oil was used to anoint priests. So Aaron was Israel's first priest, and oil was used to consecrate him and his sons to serve God. Interestingly, I'm giving you references because I don't have time to dive into all of them. So you're welcome to write them down. I'll send you my notes. But interestingly here, oil was not to be poured on the body of an ordinary person. Why? Because oil was for those of a holy position or set apart. Yet now, in the new covenant, we're anointed with the Holy Spirit. It should make you not an ordinary person. It should make you set apart. Oil was used to anoint kings, secondly. Kings were always anointed as a way of God choosing a man of his choice. So David in Psalm 89. You have been made holy by the work of the Holy Spirit. See, these beautiful things that oil did in the Old Testament have happened to us, but I don't think we actually believe them all. So you are not an ordinary person. You have been set apart and you have been made holy. 2 Corinthians 5. For our sake he was made, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You have been chosen by God to do greater works. Third thing, oil is talked about in the Bible. Psalm 133, unity. Like oil on the beard of Aaron, or my wonderful friend Phil over there. Sometimes I wonder if like unbearded men could walk in the same level of anointing. I trust they can, but he's particularly anointed. But so what does it symbolize here? It symbolizes the Holy Spirit and a unity that's in the Spirit. There it came down the beard of Aaron. Today, God gives the Holy Spirit, John 3, without measure. Follow me. I'm just giving you the context of what oil means. So then in the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, clearly we see now Jesus talking about the presence of Holy Spirit. These virgins were waiting for their bridegroom. Five had oil, five did not. We must steward our oil too. Lastly, oil was talked about as an anointing to preach. Luke 4:18. When Jesus began his ministry, he said, I've been anointed to proclaim good news to the poor. And in Acts 10, talking about Jesus, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who sent about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What does that mean for us again? Everyone who has repented and believes in Christ has a spirit of God, and therefore, what are you called to do? Preach good news to the poor. If you've been saved, you are anointed, and therefore you're called to preach the gospel. So what does oil mean? It means you've been, for us, we know that we have been anointed. You have been made holy. You've been set apart for good works. You've been given the Spirit without measure, and you have an anointing to preach the good news. Just tell your neighbor, I have an anointing to preach the good news. So the question is, do you want to be ready when Jesus comes back? Because five of those, it wasn't pretty for five of those virgins. So how do we get oil? My first kind of point, I'm kind of going to work through. You're going to see I'm going to work through the Trinity. God's going to pull all this together. Holy Spirit, please help me. First collection of thoughts, stewarding the presence of God. Why don't you just open up Matthew 25?
Jesus.
So I had this big revelation earlier. I know I went over it quickly, but in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to read more of the next bit. There's the parable of the 10 virgins. Read it later. Basically, it ends with, but he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. So there's this warning of what it is to have oil. I want to have oil when Jesus comes back. I want to have oil when Jesus comes back. I want to be like those first five virgins that is ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready when Jesus comes back to be like, yeah, I'm ready. And the crazy thing is, I'd actually preached on the second half of Matthew 25 and not seen that the second half of 25 is just the answer to the first half. It's good how the Bible is simple like that. So what's the answer to being one of the first five virgins and not the second? It's the parable of the talents. And what's beautiful is this is literally, I remember when I first came back from Uganda, I heard the parable of the talents preached, and it annoyed me because they skipped out the last verse. So I'm going to give you another little health warning that's not fun. The last verse ends with, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Stay with me. We probably should listen to this, right, to get this right, because I don't want to be in verse 30. So, for it will be like a man going on a journey. Listen to these phrases very carefully. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Where am I? To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he had the 2 talents, made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid the master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I want that. The joy of my master. And he also had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I've made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hallelujah. Just the word of God. Don't hate me. So when I first heard this, I'd only heard it in the context of like our natural gifts, right? And maybe because I was excelling in school and studying to a PhD, you know, I heard a lot about like steward your talents. But when I dived into this, when I first started studying this and started looking at commentaries, I was like, I don't think he's actually talking about how well I play the piano. And I started thinking, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a man on a journey, giving instructions for his absence, calling his servants and giving endowments. Where one talent is worth 20 years' wages. The very least that was given in this story is 20 years' worth of wages. To me, this sounds like Jesus, the master, giving the greatest gift that we've ever been given after salvation, which is the Holy Ghost. And I started thinking, what is it in this? What are the nuggets in this? John 14:17, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the question is tonight, friends, that I want to talk about is how do we steward the Holy Spirit in our life? I talked about what it is to have oil. The first thing to have oil is just to steward Holy Spirit in your life like a best friend. What does a steward do? They tend to something and they give it away. So, stewarding Holy Spirit in us. How do we cultivate a lifestyle of the presence of God? I want to challenge you to look in the Bible at Jesus' prayer life. They're often phrases of 2 or 3 words that we might miss. I'm just going to quickly zip through them. Luke 5, after he cleanses a leper, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Mark 1, before he preaches in many towns, says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Matthew 14, he dismissed the crowds, went up to the mountain by himself to pray, and then walked on water. Luke 6, "And all night he continued in prayer to God before making an arguably world-changing decision of choosing 12 people to follow him." He didn't just think about it the whole night before the Father. So how do we steward the presence of Holy Spirit in our lives? First of all, it is about continual prayer, and I cannot, as it talks about in 1 Thessalonians, and I cannot underline that enough. Somebody's giving me some amen back there. It's an intercessor back there. And it's not just about corporate prayer meetings. It's about you going on your own into that secret place and seeking the Lord and becoming a friend of the Father. Becoming a best friend of Holy Spirit. That's how you destroy the works of the devil. But I actually don't want to talk about this. I want to give you, so just take that, write it down, and be devoted to more of a lifestyle of consecration and prayer. Amen? You're going to do that? You're going to do that. Okay. Now I'm going to give you my 5 top tips of a life of the presence or a life of oil. 5 top tips. Number 1, make him number 1. Jesus is asked, the scribes are like trying to catch him out. What is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest? Come on, Jesus. Give us a little poem or a little, come on, I want to write a book about this. And just imagine him looking them in the eye and being like, there's no other God. And love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. I can imagine them being like, that's it. What is the most important thing you will ever do in your life? Before doing, before being in ministry, definitely, before being successful at work, before even being a great dad or being a good friend, before all of those things, it's, have you learned to love him? Has this busy Western life, I think I heard apparently Cara Arnott teach this as well. Busy in Africa is burdened under Satan's yoke. Have we got so busy that we've forgot to pull ourselves away and just become a friend of God? I once went into the Greek to look up what all means. A-double-L. All your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Do you know what it means in the Greek? Got some Bible scholars in the house. But now think about what it actually looks like to give God all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. Every bit of your emotions, every bit of your mental capacity, every bit of your heart's desire. The most important thing you'll ever do is love him more. Second thing, become aware. So stewarding a life of oil. Second thing, become aware, feast on the word, and become aware of what's available to you. Our lives look way too ordinary if the Bible is true about what's available to us. Because right now I'm sat in heavenly places. Right now, Hebrews 10 says that I have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Confidence. Not timidity, confidence. I just step right in. Bam. Holy of holies. The same place that if the priests weren't holy enough, they would have had to drag them out because they would have died. I just get to step in. Ha, 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 ha. He's given us the glory, more glory than Moses, who went up a mountain and came down with his face shining. You're like, oh, that's just a little bit crazy. That's a bit crazy. That happened in Bible time. Let me, there are people that these things happened. There are churches where people, okay, I'm just going to go there. I might stretch you. Forgive me later. Where they're like, float. David Hogan calls them floaters. What do you do with your floaters? Well, they're so caught up in the glory, they had to put ropes around their feet because they levitate off the ground. Or St. Patrick could walk into towns and everyone would get healed. Like, ha, 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 come on. There's people, there's a man called Sundar Singh who had spent so much time with the Lord that he'd just knock on people's doors, they'd open it up, and such was the radiance of heaven that had come on him, they would think he was Jesus. Feels like easy evangelism. Charles Finney used to walk into warehouses, and because of the anointing of the fear of the Lord on his life, people would just drop down on their knees. Church, we haven't even scraped the surface. We haven't even, we're in kindergarten, we're in paddling pool. Ha, 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 ha. Third, allow suffering and testing to prune your heart. Still smiling. Part of tending and caring as a vine dresser is pruning bits that aren't bearing fruit. Couple of different bits. This one, purposefully removing. One of the verses, scriptures that marked my heart when I was in Uganda was Psalm 86, verse 11. Give me an undivided heart. Or another translation is a circumcised heart. I started praying crazy prayers. Like, Lord, if there's anything that's in my life that's stopping me from encountering you, would you remove it? Because I was on a bus and my iPhone died, and so I was suddenly like, oh, I have no worship tunes. And the Lord was like, neither did Wesley. I was like, okay, I've got the Holy Ghost, I can pray in tongues, and I've got the word, I should be okay. So I kept going, but then I prayed this prayer, Lord, if there's anything in my life that's hindering me from knowing you, would you remove it? And I get out of that bus, I get on a little Bora Bora motorbike taxi up to the mission space, and the heavens opened, this thunderstorm came down, I had a bag on the front of the motorbike, it drenched the bag. By the time that I got there, not only was my iPhone not working, but so was my iPod and basically any other electrical device. All my clothes were now so wet that they got put on a washing line to dry, and things tend to go missing on washing lines in Uganda, so now I had no trousers. I was like, that was a stupid prayer. Jesus! But okay, now I'll pray like Ugandans. Teach me how to fast. I don't need trousers, I'll just pray in my shorts. I'm serious, there's a place of like saying, would you remove? Hebrews 12 isn't talking just about sin, it's talking about anything that might distract you. That's like anything just in the rearview mirror that might distract you from the beautiful face of Jesus. The Welsh revival, Evan Roberts was like, they so wanted the glory of God that they had four tenets. One of them was just to publicly proclaim Jesus. Another one was about repentance, but one of them was this, and this I haven't really yet met a Western church that I think is living this, to remove anything doubtful from your life. They had the glory of God in meetings with teenagers because Evan Roberts said, if you want to follow me, if you're not sure about it, you've got to get rid of it. There's a consecration where the fire of God will fall, where you have to make sure that altar is clean. And yes, he purifies us. Yes, we have been made whole. But you need to do your work as well of tending to your garden. And sometimes we want God to come. We're like, more of you, God, but we haven't made space in our heart. Our closet's still full of junk. Second bit of this is to allow testing and pruning that comes to really bring you closer to Jesus. It's like the pearl that's formed by scraping and scouring and church, you know, this bit hurts. There's a beautiful response as a son when you get criticized that you get to do this. You define me before anyway. Just remind me who I am again, Dad. Okay, thanks. cool. Or as Todd White says, you can't offend me because you can't take away something from me that was never yours to give. When we rejoice in sufferings and trust, this is just the Bible. Because I've heard Romans 8 preached tons of time, but I have not heard, if you want the glory, you've got to have suffering. You want the glory? Romans 8 says you've got to have suffering. You want the glory of Jesus Christ? The Bible says you've got to have the suffering of Jesus Christ. I honestly, I don't quite know how to put that in my good God theology, but I'm just going to tell you it's in the Bible. But God will use stuff as a scalpel to circumcise your heart when there's fat on it. Oh, my dear. I just encourage you, get into some of the ancient mystics. They did not play games. This, again, will offend probably many of your theologies as it does mine. Julian of Norwich was an ancient mystic, first ever published female author. She asked God for an illness that would bring her so close to death that all she knew was Jesus. They read her last rites. When you get to that, that sounds like what Paul says, that I'm content in everything and nothing. You know, if you're not in joy, you're not in the presence of God? Because in his presence is the fullness of joy. Not only should circumstances not define us, but like they shouldn't even come close to like touching us. Because circumstances, last time I checked, were down on earth. And where are you sat? Madame Guyon said this, "Bride of Jesus, how beautiful you are. When you no longer have anything of your own, but seek only his beauty, you will then be the delight of the bridegroom, and he will be all your beauty." The beauty of dying is in resurrection life. It's part of the stewarding the oil of his presence is actually dying to ourselves. So I was praying this morning, I felt the Father say to me, if the disciples had to give everything away, why would it be any different for you? And I'm not saying that he doesn't want to bless us, provide for us, meet all our needs and over and above, but it's a posture of the heart. It's a posture of the heart that says, none of that defines me. Lock me up. Just get to preach the gospel. Kill me, I'll get to go somewhere better. That's when the church starts to then be really scary to the devil. At the moment, we're not sure about preaching the gospel, so we feel awkward. And the rest of our body is like, because we might get killed for it. I love you. Here's the thing. We want the co-resurrection. We want to sit in heavenly places. But let me tell you this, Galatians 2:20, the bliss of co-resurrection and enjoying heaven, and I believe that you can see, experience, taste, touch, heavenly things, angels, the things of heaven comes through the process of co-crucifixion and not being satisfied by earth. Come on, that was good. It's just Galatians, it's just the Bible. Galatians 2:20, for I have been co-crucified with Christ and I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Suddenly I am powerful because you can't take anything away from me that he doesn't give me. Suddenly I get to love you independent of how you treat me. Fourth, then focus on him, give him attention. Psalm 130, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen in the morning. I got to hang out with Mark Marks recently, who set up Healing on the Streets and has this incredible healing ministry. We hit the streets. It was when in both days we saw whole groups of teenage youth get saved, limbs growing out. It was lovely. It was fun. It's just the stuff I love kicking Satan in the face. But Mark said something just in passing when we asked about his prayer life. He said, I'm never not aware of the presence of God. And the minute I am, I just check myself. And And men of God, like Brother Lawrence, were the same. They just constantly stewarded the presence of God. People used to come and watch him wash dishes. Oh, evangelism will be so easy in your workplace when you're just so whacked, you're so aware of the presence of God, that your face is shining, that people can't get near your desk without being touched by the glory of God.
Got to learn to drink as well.
And the fifth thing, ask for more. Blessed are the satisfied or the hungry? The hungry. And I really feel God wants to transition us, and I love this series that we've been doing. From a one-off drink, from a one-off meal, to what pleroo, the Greek, actually means is to keep on drinking. Ha, 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 ha. Keep on being intoxicated. Ha, ha, ha. Paul said, if I'm out of my mind, it's for Christ. If I'm in my right mind, it's for you. What if the church was so out of it for Jesus that they only like came back in and started making sentences to be able to converse with people? It's just the Bible. Okay. Hallelujah. Problem is, I could keep going for days. Okay, so first key point is the oil. The oil of his presence looks like stewarding Holy Spirit. It looks like a devoted life of intimate one-on-one prayer, but it hopefully those 5 points are useful. But here's where I want to drop something that you might not have seen before, because I think you guys get most of that. It's also about giving him away. You see, this last week, I had the privilege to go to a thing called the Christian Economic Forum. And I was with some investors. And they know that they are rich when they give away. You could see the joy on these people. They just release the, like, they release, I mean, I'm talking hundreds of millions. And they're just like, they're wanting to find things of the kingdom to give money to because they know that they're rich, they're blessed when they give. And they get more when they give. They're, you know. And so just to come back to the parable of the talents, here's the really cool thing. The word to be entrusted in Greek is paradidonai, which means to give unto one's power to use. That means that the Holy Spirit was given to you to use. Not just for your benefit, to use. Last time I checked, the Bible talks about a river of life flowing through you, not a lake. Rivers flow in. And they flow out. I think at the moment we're suffering with a spiritual epidemic of obesity. Forgive me, I love you. Obesity happens when you just eat and don't hit the gym or do exercise. We've got real good at eating. But like, are we giving him away? Are we giving Holy Ghost away? Here's the secret. This blew my mind when I discovered this in the Word. Jesus says these crazy things, right? So once he quotes Deuteronomy 8, where it talks about man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God, right? We've all heard that. And what, you know, we know what that means. It means that we live a life in the Word. Amen? Good. Great. But he also said this other crazy thing. John 4:34. Go there if you want. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. He didn't make it very easy for his disciples. I mean, give him a break. They're just trying to feed him. It's like you've had a hot, long day of ministry, Jesus. No. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Here's a key that I think we've missed out, that destroying the works of hell should sustain us.
Doing the works of the Father shouldn't be draining. The number of times we've got evangelism, he's, oh, let's pray for you, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then afterwards you've got to take about 3 days off because you, like, told one person about Jesus. Oh, now I've got to soak for, like, a week. You should be coming out of that place, shakaraba sanda, I just crushed some demons. I'm alive. And I promise you it's true. Let me tell you the first ever time that I had a power evangelism encounter. I'd been wanting it for weeks, months probably. I started a soaking morning, my little church. They thought it was weird, but they went with it. And so week after week, 6 a.m., I went there, started the soaking morning. About 3 people would come. It was great. Learned to do things for an audience of one. Anyway, after about 2 months, I'm just so full of the Holy Ghost. I'm like, God, there's a little corner shop over the road. Some of you heard this story. It's my first ever power encounter. You ready? Glory of God fell. So I'm like, I've spent, you know, probably 2-3 hours in the presence of God. I'm like, I've got it. I've listened to Robbie Dawkins. I've listened to Todd White. I've got it. Here we go. I'm going to open my mouth. God's going to give me a word. They're going to be like, no way. How do you know that? They're probably going to fall on their knees under the glory of God. And then be like, what do I do to get saved? Can you tell me about this Jesus of yours? In my head. So across the street, my knees start going. Get into the corner shop. I'm like, no, come on. And I stopped outside. I was like, you've got this. Prayed in tongues a bit more. Okay, I've got this going. So she was at a little desk there. I come in here. And I come around the side. Get to about here. And then it was like, you know, you just freeze. And you're like, really? Holy Spirit? Really? Really? No, still nada. Okay. Hey. Not knowing what to do, I literally took my rucksack off, put it on the ground. I was like, I've just forgotten something, and put my head in my rucksack just to, like, hide. Come on, God. Like, seriously. I thought she was going to get saved by now. Come on. No, still no glory. Okay, let me pretend. I don't know if you know, church over the road, great, yeah, you met us, cool. Yeah, I don't, just the word, mean anything to you? No. Okay, anything I could pray for? Nah. Cool, all right, well, you know, great, good, Jesus loves you, yeah, cool. Awesome, yeah, great. Bye. But I knew I'd see her, like, every day. I was mortified. It couldn't have gone worse. Do you know what I mean? I step outside, and it was like a rain shower of joy hit me, and I was like, oh, wow. The Father's delight hit me for being obedient. I was like, that's what it feels like to be obedient to the voice of God. It was beautiful. And I haven't stopped since. And let me tell you, like, if you're afraid of doing something, you probably need to do it. Because if you're not doing it, you're literally just listening to the devil. And that's stupid. Because you got bought for a price to destroy his works. And it doesn't stop. It will never stop. It will never stop. I will never stop destroying the works of hell. Because I used to be afraid of going up to strangers. Now you probably tell me to go to everyone. But now I'm a little bit afraid of publicly preaching. But the Bible says, Caruso proclaim. So I try and do it. And people go, that's not going to work. So Norway, very hard place. Little thought came into my head. What about preaching the gospel on the plane? Oh, no, that won't work, will it? Norway, really hard. Screw you, Satan, watch me. Hi, guys. I just want to let all of you, and I just preached the gospel. I got a standing ovation. Yeah. Like, but it's not actually for that. I was just like, that was so easy. Just had to, like, give him one of them. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to come into land and skip the whole rest of my message because I got too excited. Oh, I haven't done what I was going to do either.
Hallelujah. We're kind of landing time, aren't we, Stu? Great, good little nod, thank you. Then I just want to give you, in the last just 5 minutes, I want to just give you a couple of closing points just to wrap up, and then maybe they'll have me back. I'll get up to it another time. Here's the thing. If you want to steward a life of oil, it's first of all, like these things that I'm saying about stewarding the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something else. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. And it's also about stewarding the gospel. We need the gospel front and center of our revelation of who he is and what the gospel is. And I think sometimes we're so enjoying the trimmings of the gospel, we've forgotten the joy that we're just sat at the table. We're so enjoying eating the fat of the lamb that we've forgotten that actually we were dead and now we're at the feast. And when I got saved through one scripture, Mark 8:34, that if you will come after me, in the words of Jesus, you will deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Church, we need the Holy Spirit. A life of oil also looks like stewarding the gospel, which is every day knowing that you used to be dead. Jesus isn't an add-on to life to make your life a little bit better. You were dead. And what you carry is the hope of glory. What you carry is resurrection life, is eternity. This should grip our souls. Because if we believe the gospel, I was dead and now I'm alive. Every day should be like, shaka baba, woo, whatever happens. And I should want to tell everyone about it. Promise I'm speeding up. The gospel must become real to us. And let me say this. I've recently started having encounters of the agony of Jesus. I don't have time to go there, but I want to just say this, that I think some aspects of the ancient church, the Catholic Church, have revelation that we're not fully tapping into. They meditate on the agony of Christ. And I'm not saying we necessarily should do that, but we should have an awareness that his death was very bloody and you couldn't even see his face. That they flogged him so much that you could see the bones on his back. That's the gospel. And lastly, how does carrying oil lead to a life of fire? I promise this is my last point. What is the link? I've meditated on this a little while as I've taught evangelism. Carrying Christ leads to a revelation of identity. Being filled with the Spirit leads to being empowered by grace and boldness, but it's carrying the heart of the Father that will commission you to go. Does that make sense? So stewarding a life of oil is about it becoming in love with Holy Spirit and stewarding. It's letting the Holy Spirit point to Jesus and being so aware of his death and resurrection that you fall in love with the gospel. But then it's letting the Holy Spirit point you to the Father and being encapsulated by the heart of the Father, which let me try and tell you in 30 seconds, just a quick revelation of the heart of the Father, which is this. The parable of the lost son reflects, yes, the beauty of the lost son and what the Father does to it, but I would say it's a parable of a desperate father. A desperate father. And I believe in a good God who's in a good mood, but you cannot tell me that he's not desperate for his kids back. He ran. I say worship leaders, I think, should be the best evangelists, because if you're having an encounter with the Father's heart and you don't catch that desire for lost children, it's not been a full encounter with his heart. Love is and always be the great motivator of the gospel. It will make you do things that anointing or gifting or even boldness can't. Love will make you go, make you say things, make you do things. Just watch people at airports as they run and look silly. So this is what I want to do. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you stand? Matt, do you want to just come up? Sure. I'm just asking the Holy Spirit what he wants to do. Why don't you just say, Father, I want more of your heart. Father, I want to make space in my life to know how you feel. Father, would you give me a full revelation of the gospel? Holy Spirit, come. Hey, we all love blow up moments, right? But I want whatever God's about to do to mark you for eternity. I do not want it to end tonight. I want the gospel to cut and divide soul and spirit. Do you want to lead every nation? Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray for two things. I want to first pray for those of you that want to steward more oil. But there's an if for both of these impartations, okay? I want to invite you to a life of more oil, but only if, and I feel comfortable with this because the Bible says if a number of times. It's not me just being mean. Only if you are literally willing tonight to make a change to your diary that will create more space to meet with Holy Spirit. That might be one night next week. That might be a weekend away. I have date nights with Jesus. That might be blocking off time every single morning. Please do not come forward unless you're going to change your diary. Actually, just wait one second because there's going to be a second thing. These people can stay here. Both of these are if. It's okay to stay where you are. Do not come forward if you're not willing for the if. The first if, you might want both. That's what I'm saying. Don't rush. The first if is if you're willing to change your diary for more of the Holy Ghost. And just trust me, the more space you give him, the more he'll come into your life. There might be some of you that literally next weekend just go into a forest to fast and pray. I dare you to be more weird than anyone you've ever met in Christendom so far. I dare you. I dare you, I dare you, I dare you. Because it's people that do weird stuff that destroy hell. People that ask crazy prayers of God. You guys are really disobedient. You're just running forward. I love it. But the first thing is I want all those people to go to this side because that's specifically for a life of oil. The second thing, and you might want both. Just keep playing out. The second thing is to live a life of fire. And the if for this is probably bigger. It's that in the next 24 hours, you tell someone about Jesus. Ideally on your way home, but if you're driving, then you can be tomorrow at work. And I know that you're feeling uncomfortable. And that's exactly the point. Do
So if you want more oil and you're willing to say, yeah, I'm going to change my diary, I want you to run down to this side right now. There's still loads more. I want you to run down right now. Run. Like more, or like a serious increase in the presence of God in your life. The kind of encounters where you cannot pull yourself off the floor. If you're willing to start fasting one day a week, if you're willing to start just pulling yourself away and just spending whole weekends in the presence of God. I'm not just saying this, but like this stuff doesn't just come. Chloe and Stu, don't just walk in the anointing. Often it's hours upon hours that you spend just gazing on Jesus. You've got to be willing to put stuff aside. I want to invite you to do something right now. Just before I pray, just why don't you just get on your and just say, God, I'm desperate for you and I'm willing to change my diary. Everyone here on the right. And why don't we get all of the Bethel grads and Catch the Fire ministry team to start just releasing oil over here. Yeah. Yeah, if you feel this stirring for oil, that's exactly what I felt. Why don't you just get on your knees? That's just a sign of saying, I'm desperate for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. I'm just going to release something that I think will mark all of you. You might not have asked for before, but if you want it, grab it. Because it will set you free from the fear of man. Right now, I release an impartation of the fear of the Lord. I release an impartation of the fear of the Lord, that you would not care what any man thinks of you because you are so obsessed with the face of Jesus. I release awe of God. I release encounters where you cannot move. Fire of God, come right now. Fire of God, come right now. Fear of the Lord, just be released in their bellies right now in Jesus' name. And I feel like God is just setting some of you free from what people think about you. So if there's specific people, and often it's actually Christians, that you're scared about what they think of you, just give that to God right now. Just lift them up. Just raise your hands prophetically. Okay, God, say, Jesus, I give you this fear, and I ask to only care about what you think of me. Fear of God, come. Fear of God, come. Fear of God, come. Fear of God, come. I want nothing but your presence. Okay, and I'm just going to straight to stay there. Guys, I need more people just laying hands. There's a remnant who are willing to walk out this door and tell everyone they meet about Jesus. And I believe the Father wants to, this is not just going to be a baptism of boldness or fire, but an impartation of the heart of the Father, a broken heart to almost grieve and weep over lost sons and daughters, your brothers and sisters. So if you want that, and the if is that you tell someone about Jesus in the next 24 hours, I want you to run down here.
There is no one like you. You are holy, holy.
So right now, Father, I release, God, I need more hands. I release the heart of the Father where you would receive his heart that looks out for lost, that every single day you would look out and you would say, Father, who do you want me to send me to today? If you want to pray that prayer of, here I am, send me, why don't you just lift up both hands right now? Just say, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Fire of God. Fire of God, fall. Fire of God. Fire of God. Fire of God. Fire of God. come.
Holding broken chains.
Fire of God come.
Above it.
Release the heart of the Father right now.
Singing we have overcome.
Fire.
Fire. By the blood of the Lamb. Is Jesus you? You're
fire,
worth
fire,
it
fire,
all.
Fire, 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 fire.
Every nation, every
there's
soul.
There's more.
Jesus,
God
you,
wants to release the fullness of his heart in this moment where it will wreck you, it will change you. You will start crying and weeping
nation,
over souls. Release it right now.
Every soul.
Release it.
Jesus, you are worth it all. Every nation.
Come on, if you want this, just lift up your hands again. Just lift up your
Jesus
hands.
You.
Just lift up your hands if you want this. I want to know who wants this.
You're worth it all. Every nation and every soul.
If you want your heart wrecked for his, just raise your hands right now. Jesus, send
you
your fire.
Come.
I need a catcher. Send your fire.
Holding broken chains above their heads. Sing and we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
There's more.
All the nations, they will come, holding broken chains above.
Send your fire right now, God. Send your fire. Fire.
Singing we
fire.
Have overcome. By the blood of the Lamb.
Any compromise, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Fear of man,
you,
get out. Fear of man, go.
Every nation and every soul. In Jesus' name.
Because we want as much of what God wants for us this evening as we can get. And it doesn't need to look like anything. It doesn't need to sound like anything. It just needs to be your heart reaching out towards God. If this is unusual to you, then you have full permission to come and ask us about it. We would love to connect with you. It's not supposed to be comfortable.
Holding broken chains.
But you are allowed to ask questions. You're allowed to find out what's happening.
Singing we have.
So that you can walk into the fullness of what God wants
by
for you.
The blood of the Lamb. All the nations, they will come, holding broken chains above their heads.
There's one last thing I want to pray for.
Singing we have,
and that's the joy of being bold and out of your mind for Christ.
By the blood of the Lamb. Jesus
again, it comes with a health warning that you have to be willing to be a fool for Christ.
Every soul.
Oh, Holy Spirit will start ask you to do crazy things if you tell him that your life is his. So right now, if you want to walk out of this place getting so blasted by the joy of God that you look crazy, then just lift up your hands right now. And joy of heaven come. Joy of heaven come. Joy of heaven come. Wild boldness come. Wild boldness come. Wild boldness come. Brits, you're meant to be wild. Joy of the Lord just come right now, Jesus.
Jesus, you are worth it all. Again, to come and fill our hearts right now. I felt like some of you are just going to be infused by his love. Holy Spirit, we invite you to be the power force and the love explosion within us. And Father, we just submit to you and we ask for opportunities this week. We ask for opportunities to love really, really well. It's a love kingdom we belong to. It's a love kingdom we release. Power comes from that place of love. But some of you are going to be called to just put your arms around someone this week and love the hell out of them. Some of you are going to be called to just gaze into eyes. And someone in Kenya last year just gazed into blind eyes and they opened. They didn't say a word. They didn't have to jump up and down. They didn't have to say anything other than the love of Jesus came through them. So dear Holy Spirit, we ask that you would empower us, that you would fill us, that you would shape us and get us ready for the people that you have us to love on this week. Why don't you just put a hand on someone near you and just bless them to be everything God has called them to be this week by his power, by his might. You know what? The world don't need persuasive words. They need the love of heaven. So, Father, we thank you by a demonstration of your love that you would charge us up this week to be everything you've called us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We've got to officially end the service, but if you want to stay where you're at, if you're mid-encounter, if God's ministering to you, then you just stay right there. But may you just be so blessed this week and so infused by him that you can't but help love the hell out of everyone you meet. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Keep me burning, give me oil in my lamp, I pray, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, keep me burning till the break of day, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, give me oil in my lamp, I pray.
burning till the break of day.
Give me oil.
And give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Keep me fire in my belly, I pray. Give me fire in my belly, keep me preaching. Keep me preaching till the break of day.
Give me peace.
Give me peace in my heart, keep me smiling. Give me peace in my heart, I pray. Give me peace in my heart, keep me smiling. Keep me smiling till the break of day.
Give me oil.
And give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Fire in my heart, I pray. Give me fire in my heart, keep me loving. Oh, keep me loving till the break of day. Give me fire in my heart, keep me loving. Give me fire in my heart, I pray. Give me fire in my heart, keep me loving. Keep me loving till the break of day.
Keep me loving.
Keep me loving till the break of day.
Keep me burning.
Keep me burning till the break of day. Burning, keep me burning till the break of day.
Come on, just shout for Jesus. You are worthy, God. You are worthy.